Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. I'm your host, and we've got another great show. We've got, I thought I'd take the time for call-ins, being that this is kind of an auspicious event. We're right in the middle of this major galactic event, you know, the end of time, or, the end of one world and moving into a new world, whatever you want to call it. I mean, there's so many different names for this event, but it ties into the Mayan calendar, but the Mayan calendar actually is the Aztec calendar. I don't know why they call it the Mayan calendar, but the Aztec stone is what they go by. And, there's just a lot of information about there. We've sent quite a few emails. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, I always suggest go to eseti.org and sign up for the newsletter, because we've been talking about this shift and these times, you know, all along, and it seems to be unfolding pretty much as we said it would, and we're not out of the woods yet, that's for sure. We've been talking about the major planetary alignments, the alignment with galactic plane. According to some scientists, I guess Sirius, Alcyon, and our sun and the moon all came into direct alignment, you know, with galactic plane on December 21st. So being that we're all still here, I guess the world didn't end. But I think we are moving quickly into a whole new way of doing things, because the energy coming in is just off the scale. And anybody who is sensitive, we're going to talk a lot about this in the second hour, are feeling these shifts. They're really feeling this energy coming in. And some people, it's turning the world upside down. They're getting dizzy, you know, nauseated. Some people are actually, you know, vomiting and just feeling some real intense energy coming up, you know, emotional outbursts, things of that level. But the energy is definitely coming in. It's coming in hot and strong, and people are reacting to it differently. You know, everybody's different. So who knows, you know, but I've always felt that there to give a timeline when everything is going to happen, it just doesn't work that way, because the energy comes in and it kind of sets itself, you know, and then from then on it starts manifesting itself in all kinds of different ways. So I think the 21st was the pivot point. It's the point where the energy set. And a lot of people were doing some major meditation work and healing work around the planet, which really helped out. We got a lot of help from the, you know, off-world visitors and the higher dimensional beings were all involved. And so it's like the source itself stepped in too. So there's a lot of work being done on levels people don't know about. And if you're not very sensitive and you don't know anything about energies and consciousness and how things work, you know, it might just be another day for you. It's just business as usual. But those who are sensitive are definitely feeling the energy. You know, it's pretty undeniable. I wanted to talk about a few things up front before we start. And we're going to do call-ins tonight and have people, you know, give us their information on how they're feeling and what's happening with them. And so I really stress that this is what it's all about. As You Wish is just that. It's As You Wish. That's why we open up the show, to give people a voice and definitely give women a voice, because they seem to not have much of one right now, which is fast approaching the change, you know, the tipping point, because there's just a massive amount of energy coming in. And what they're telling us is that to get through these shifts, we're really going to have to align with the divine feminine energy, the Sophia energies. The earth is a feminine energy, and she's shifting and moving to the next level. So we have to align with those energies and become frequency specific so we can make this shift. But there's just a lot going on. We're seeing crazy things. We're seeing flashes of lights everywhere. The UFO phenomenon has increased exponentially. There's whole fleets flying over cities with people observing, you know, these fleets. There's just so many things going on right now that people are unaware of. And a lot of censorship and a lot of manipulation going on too, because there's a real hard and fast movement to get in and you know, and change things around and get this new world order established. But it's just not going to happen. It's not frequency specific to the planet and where it's going. And there's energies and forces beyond, you know, the power elite's imagination that are coming in. So good luck with that one. It's not going to happen. You know, speaking of which, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, the Aurora shootings and the Sandy Hook shootings and what's been going on there. And in each case, I find it very odd that there seems to be multiple shooters. And we're not given all the facts or all the details, and it's being hidden and covered up. And I'm not just saying, you know, this is a conspiracy, and I'm not doing the conspiracy theorist thing. I'm really looking at the data and the information coming in. And people say, oh, that's cold. You know, how can you talk about that? You know, you're a gun-toting NRA carrying, card-carrying, whatever, you know, and which I'm not. I really wish we didn't need guns on this planet. I would love to see all the guns go away. But unfortunately, as long as the tyrants have guns, you know, there's going to be total enslavement, you know, and that's just the way it is. That's just the hard facts. You know, guns, you know, people say guns don't kill people, people kill people. You know, my feeling is the psychotropic drugs are killing more people than any guns. And it's not just killing the people who end up committing suicide or have some huge emotional outburst and tirade, you know, and over in China, they're actually doing it with meat cleavers and knives, you know, so, you know, it's going to happen. But then, you know, there's some things that have happened that I really wanted to talk about in the movie Batman. It shows very clearly there's a big red sign that says Aurora in the movie. And one of the gentlemen is there pointing at a map in the movie. And the map, it says Sandy Hook. He says, this is where we need to go, you know, to stop the whatever terror or whatever, you know, this is, and he's pointing right at this spot. I mean, that is just a clear message. The Illuminati boys, they always pre-warn, they put out a message, and it's just their way, it's their modus operandi before an event happens. So, you know, just having that in the movie and seeing that, and that does fit the modus operandi, it's pretty obvious that these things were orchestrated, and there's a lot more to the story. But there's another thing about the Sandy Hook thing. I find just the behavior was very odd there. And when you listen to the radio announcements, you know, between the police and the ambulance drivers and everybody else there, when you listen to the stories, I mean, they go, we've got one, you know, one suspect down, you know, we've got him in custody. You know, if they're dead, they're not a suspect, you know, they're not in custody, they're dead. And they wouldn't be saying that. And so they had an extra guy, you know, in custody. They had grabbed another guy out in the woods in camos, which is another guy. And then they had two other shadowy figures running from the event towards the gym that were observed, you know. And they had not only did one of the women there, I can't remember which one, say she saw these beings. You can hear it in the police radio, they're going, oh God, you know, here it comes, you know, here they are, you know, what are we going to, you know, do? And they thought they were screwed. You know, they thought these guys are coming right at them. And, well, you don't hear that. All of a sudden, you know, it's just this one guy, who, and that got all messed. Hit his mom. He's supposed to have killed his mom there, who was a teacher. Well, he did. And he killed his mom at home. And, you know, all these stories that were coming out there, it's almost looking like either some kind of mind control or a patsy, or there's just a lot more to this story. So I would not get into all the emotional drama and we have to ban guns and we have to stop this. You know, I think it would be a much more practical thing to actually start arming the teachers and getting some security there, you know. You're not going to stop by banning guns. You're not going to stop these events from happening. It just isn't going to happen. You know, you need to, you know, have some protection in there. You know, if I was sitting there as a teacher and I couldn't do a damn thing, and if somebody came into my room and started shooting kids, I would just feel so rotten to the core that I couldn't do anything. You know, I mean, I'd probably pick a desk up and throw it at the guy or something and be taken out. But anyway, you know, to be totally defenseless and not have security and not have any kind of armed security there, I think is just ridiculous right now, considering, you know, what's going on. And, you know, so anyway, that's my feeling. I think that's a lot more rational approach is one thing. Banning guns isn't going to do it. And I think it's pretty weird that now Russia and China are calling for an all-out ban, you know, on guns. You know, they want the guns confiscated. The, UN, you know, is trying to get us to sign these treaties that are going to ban all of our, you know, get rid of all of our guns and weapons. And, you know, you go, what is the one thing that's keeping total tyranny at bay? What is the one thing that is keeping their greedy little hands on your own personal funds, you know, your bank accounts, which there is legislation in the works to start snagging people's bank accounts and give you a note back, you know, and things of that nature. So that legislation's already on the books. But you really think about it, what is the one thing, you know, somebody asked a Chinese general, you know, what about invading America? And they said, heck no. They said there'd be a rifle behind every building. There's no way we would do that. So anyway, you know, we really need to rethink this. You know, personally, I would love to see all the guns just go away. But as long as the bad guys, and even the ones we think are good guys who are you know, everything is reversed right now, have the guns, there needs to be some kind of check and balance. So, you know, am I a gun-toting psychopath? No. And do I look at things with common sense? Yes. You know, it's based common sense. And that's just the way it is. I mean, the statistics show very clearly the places where they do have you know, open carry and permits are freely and there's a lot more people armed, there's actually less crime, and these are FBI statistics. So, you know, Connecticut had severe gun control laws, very stringent gun control laws. So, you know, obviously that didn't work. You know, so anyway, it's a little common sense, folks. You know, if it was me and if my child was going to a school, I would go and talk to them and say, do you have a plan for this? Do you have an armed guard? Do you have backup? You know, do you have people that can be there, you know, in minutes, not you know, half an hour or 20 or 30 minutes? You know, is there some kind of a plan in place? And I'd be very serious about that, because, you know, it needs to be implemented. And you know, again, you know, this is just common sense. You know, this is anything else. So anyway, when you look at all the evidence here and you listen to all the tapes and they're available at different places, and you look at, you know, the warnings, the pre-warnings of these attacks, it's pretty clear there's a lot more to the story. And that's all I'm saying, is that do the research. There's a lot more to the story. Just don't get emotionally involved and reactionary to what the mainstream press is telling you, because there's a lot of things not being told to you. A good example is Clackamas, I think it's Clackamas Mall or Town Center. I can't remember the name of it, but right, pretty close by here. It's not very far away. But they had another, you know, crazy shooter, like starting to run through the mall, and he started shooting, and there was a guy with a concealed carry, pulled his pistol out, put it on the guy. The guy saw him, turned around and ran the other way and shot himself in the head, basically, or killed himself. They're not telling you about that. They're not telling you that event was stopped by a young man with a concealed carry and a pistol. And you just don't, you're not hearing anything about that, because it doesn't fit the agenda. You know, and the agenda is to disarm, you know, people and get rid of the Second Amendment. So I think that's kind of interesting that is totally overlooked and you're just not hearing about it. And there's been a lot of other instances where there have been certain things like that that have been thwarted, you know, by either a security officer or a concealed carry permit, you know, person that was in the area. You know, a lot of people, a lot of robberies, a lot of rapes, a lot of things have been stopped by people, you know, in the area with a concealed carry in a weapon, you know. So anyway, enough of that. You know, I don't want to dwell on that stuff. I'm just saying, you know, get out of the emotional body, you know, get out of the reactionary mind and do some research into this. And let's look for some real constructive things to do, you know, to avoid these things from happening again. And I think the most constructive thing we could do is to find out exactly who and what was behind this. And that's the only way you're going to stop it, is to really get down to the brass tacks of, you know, get all the evidence, make it all available, and look at it. And I just, the coincidence of having Aurora and Sandy Hook on a map and the guy pointing at it and then these events happening afterwards, I'm sorry, that's just not a coincidence. I can't see how that could be a coincidence. One, maybe, possibly, two, heck no. You know, that's just not the way it works. But anyway, enough said on that. You know, I'm not a cold-hearted person. I was very sad to hear about the children. I was also a little bit angry thinking about what was really behind this and how these events, you know, are happening, you know, and have bigger agendas behind them. And the children were just sacrifices for another means. You know, I would really like to find out exactly what happened there and find out who was behind it, because we may never know, you know, because everything is so controlled. But anyway, you know, enough of that. I know our beloved president was very upset about these shootings, you know, even shed a tear, you know. But I have to ask, you know, there's been a minimum of 64 children killed by drones. And some of them were at weddings, you know, holy events and things like that. You know, people bringing their children to these events, and there just happens, they just know a certain terrorist might be there, so they just take out the whole event. And I'm going, where's the tears for that? You know, if you really care about the children, let's get a little universal about this. You know, let's expand our horizons and let's care about the children everywhere. And I don't think it's worth it to, you know, pop one guy and you know, take out 200 people at a wedding or something like that, you know, just for one person. You know, we have satellites that can read a dime. You know, we know where these people are. That's not collateral damage. That's just terror. You know, we're you know, putting terror into them, is, you know, so, and it's just not right. I mean, these children are innocent, you know, to see what happens to these kids and what they look like after these events. And it's a pretty bloody, ugly story. And so we need to look at that too. It's like, you know, if we're going to condemn these other shooters, then we need to stop, you know, killing other children too as well. I mean, you can't be a hypocrite about this. You know, that's the bottom line. I think Rocatonda volcano is still going off like crazy, just throwing, you know, massive amount of smoke and ash into the sky. The UK is having some very severe flooding, some severe weather. A massive filament just came off the sun. It's not headed our way, but it is massive. If it was heading our way, we'd probably be having another Carrington effect, you know, where we'd be losing the grid and things like that. So anyway, it's pretty massive what the sun just released. And luckily, again, it's not going to be a direct hit. But, you know, the sun is a revolving cannon, and we've gotten very lucky so far. And I think we've had a lot of help from some very higher dimensional beings with some technology beyond belief that can actually sit right next to the sun and shield and all of your things. So anyway, I think we're getting a lot of help getting through these changes. I'm going to go ahead and give out the call numbers if people want to call in now. Those are just some of the things I wanted to talk about, you know, before we got started. There's just, you know, some crazy energy coming in. People are all experience it differently. There's going to be a lot of changes from here on out. It's going to be hot and heavy, and we're going to see changes on every level, because December 21st was just the peak. You know, it was setting the energy into motion, and things move from consciousness to light to energy to mass. So before we see them in the physical, these events are happening on much higher levels. And some of these energies aren't even measurable. They're coming in from other dimensions. And, you know, it's part of the process. It's part of the prophecies. And some big shifts are coming, you know, behind these energies. So, you know, I don't think anybody knows exactly how things are going to unfold, because the Earth has her destiny and she's evolving and going to the next level. You've got individual and collective consciousness with people making choices every day, which is going to create their tomorrow. And you've got divine intervention going on, which means, you know, the angelic realms, the ascended masters, the ultra dimensionals, the source itself is actually, you know, pressing hard on the Earth. So, you know, it's going to get really interesting. My feelings is that there is a massive wave that is continuing to build. It's coming through. It's called unity consciousness. And everything that's not in harmony with that is going to collapse, basically, and implode eventually. It's a matter of time. So whatever's not frequency specific, whatever isn't aligned with universal law, and whatever doesn't align with unity consciousness, it's going to go through either a major transformation or a total collapse, one or the other, because they're just not frequency specific to where the Earth is going. And the people behind these deeds, you know, that are very self-serving, that are harmful to humanity and the Earth, there's going to be a quickening there too, and a great uncovering. So they're going to be shown for who they are and what they've done, and there's going to be a karmic reaction, you know, to these events. And so that is going to be unfolding, you know, in the days to come. Let me give out those numbers real quick. If you wanted to call in, the number is 888-627-6008 and 530-327-7602, 530-413-4522, and 530-413-5011. I'll give those again in a minute, and it looks like we're getting ready to go here. So it looks like we've got Linda on line three. Linda, are you with us?
I am. How are you this evening, James?
Doing great. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Wanted to wish you a happy galactic alignment.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was an intense one for me. I don't know about you, but boy, I sure felt the energies come in.
Yeah. When did you, you know, sort of start feeling them, like a buildup, like a few days ahead of time, right?
Well, you know, the 12-12 energies were coming in on the 12th.
Right.
And I felt some energies there, and then I really felt some strong energies on the 19th around there.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, the 20th and the 21st, it was just off the scale. And luckily, I was taking a lot of quiet time and doing a lot of meditation and healing work at the time. So I was in a really good position to just let this move through and flow through.
Oh, that's great. I noticed I felt like a couple days ahead of the 21st. I think I emailed you. I just had a rager of a crown chakra headache came on.
Yes.
And I don't get headaches. I don't rarely ever get headaches. I mean, when I was younger, maybe if I was being worked on by the guides or something, you know, I felt like I was back in time again. Like, oh my God, the top of my head, I feel like it's like a volcano is going to go off. After a couple days, couple nights of that, I did some clearing work. I got in the tub, did some, you know, different therapies or whatever, and that kind of lightened it up. And then I noticed that just impossible to sleep, like just wired for a couple nights, no matter what. Didn't matter how tired I was. It was just laying there, just amped up.
Yeah.
And that was the other thing I really noticed. And that hasn't really subsided that much yet. Like, it's still difficult to get to sleep at night. And like you were saying about the colors, just, you know, you see colors anyway, but now they're more often, and you look out the corner of your eye and you see a big, big flash of purple or things like that, right?
Yeah, you know, that's pretty much what we're getting. We're getting a lot of emails with people that are getting headaches, they're getting dizzy, some their whole equilibrium is being thrown off, and they're actually vomiting.
I'm glad I didn't get that part.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hitting some people really hard. But the overall information we're getting is people are feeling a lot of pressure on the crown, you know, in the third eye, and feeling, and you know, you really think about it, we are getting these huge gamma ray bursts, and some are coming from the sun, and some are coming from other sources, you know, and the central sun, and that's going to affect your crown chakra, you know, and that's why people are feeling this pressure on their head, because that's seventh level consciousness, and it would be the gamma ray on the vibrational continuum. So,
yeah, and it just feels like it's opening your crown wide open, which is fine with me, because if it's opening it up to receive more data coming in, that's great.
Yeah, and that's information coming straight from source. I mean, that's the one of the highest levels. So when the crown opens up, it's people are going to be getting some direct knowing and just straight guidance, you know, from the source.
Yeah, well, that's hallelujah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Or seventh dimensional beings, you know, that are have already risen to that level.
Awesome. And then just jumping off board from the galactic alignment for a minute, getting back to when you were mentioning that your president even cried a tear. I don't know, like myself and some friends watched that, and it just looked really phony. I mean, it did not look like a real tear to us. My impression was that it seemed very fake, but that was just our impression.
Well, that's the common consensus from people that I'm hearing on the net. They all said the same thing. They just said, you know, and to me, I just don't see how you can cry a tear for this event, but at the same time, you have no problem in, you know, with the drones and the other things. It's just kind of hypocritical.
It's cold. It's so cold. It's like to go in and massacre little children or to use drones, any children anywhere. It's just so, for us, for people like us, it's incomprehensible. We can't even, it's just like your heart just goes, you can't, it's like this is so cold-blooded. It's so, you know, it's just, it's hard to even conceive of.
Yeah.
And so how do you get, you know, how can you be that, how can you be so emotionless, to be so cold when it comes to life? I mean, why the whole theory about reptilian and bloodlines and things like that, it's just like when I first heard that theory, it's like, well, maybe that would explain it, simply because to me, I don't know, like it's just sociopathic behavior just for the most humans, it just doesn't fly.
No, it's total power, you know, power over others, and it's just not a real evolved way of being. And anybody that's in the mammalian brain and coming from a higher level of consciousness, or you know, you just don't push that trigger unless it's totally no other way out, you know, and especially.
Yeah.
When a lot of innocent people are around, you know.
It's just so heartless. It just blows my mind, right?
Well, even the reason for being places where we would have to pull the trigger are skewed and wrong, you know. So on every level, you know, they go, well, it was him against me. Well, you know, well, what are you doing over there? What do you mean him against you? You know, like you had to travel all the way across the globe to get there with a weapon, you know, to be there. And
well, it's just an old program, right? And it's time for that to shift.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would hope that with this wave of energies that we're, you know, all going to be bumped up in frequency, and, you know, my whole prayer in this, or intention, or whatever you want to call it, is, you know, I just want to see the shift in consciousness where people do have so much empathy and compassion and love, totally in the love frequency, that killing becomes a thing of the past. That we have such reverence for this beautiful planet and all sentient beings, that we just, you know, that we get to that place, and then we can have contact with our star brothers and sisters, because we'll be on a frequency that is specific to how they operate. But that's, you know, my prayer. I want to see us go there, and like now.
I agree. You know, this thing, there's this program, people have been programmed, you know, this is all for God and country, but really they're serving the godless, you know, and the corporations. It has nothing to do with God or country.
I know, and I have so much compassion for young people when they buy into that programming at first, and then they come back, and they're so screwed up because they realize, you know, like the Iraq Veterans Against the War in your country, the guy's coming back from Afghanistan, and I love what that group does and how they all help each other, and, you know, like they're putting a whole new face to what war is really all about. And if anybody knows, those guys were there on the front lines, some of them, and they came back, and now they're letting other people know, hey, this is just a program you bought into, and we bought into it too, but we're not buying into it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it is so important that they speak out, and they talk about the horror stories over there and what they had to do and what they're ordered to do. And, you know, they said if that were to happen over here, you know, everybody would stand up. Grab their gun. And he just said, you know, a lot of these aren't terrorists. They're Homeland Security, basically. You know, they're actually freedom fighters, and they're just fed up with what's going on. So, and these are our own vets saying this. So, you know,
exactly. So getting back to Galactic Alignment, and then I'll get off the phone so other people can talk with you. But, you know, for this window of opportunity we have for this unity consciousness, this wave that's coming through, you know, it's sort of like if enough people spark and go off together, you know, into this new place that we want to go to, I mean, what do you feel like, how fast on a linear timeline do you think that we can actually, that we may actually make this shift to operating from a place of heart and love on a massive scale here?
Well, you know, I've been feeling, you know, definitely over the next 2 years and from here on out, the information, I just got this information from Mary. I don't know if you got it yet, but about the third secret.
And yes, I did see that.
Yeah, and I'm getting such clear messages from her and what's going on and the you know, the Sophia energies and things like that and what's unfolding here. And I see just a massive change on every level, and we're going to see it in social, economic, and some physical earth changes. But from here on out, I think things are going to start moving really fast. And, you know, and it's leaking out, you know, the plans, you know, and what they're going to do to people's bank accounts and how they, you know, given away, you know, people say minimum of 16 trillion. Now it's up to like 250 trillion, according to some people. And then they're going to put that on the backs of the people that all have to pay that back. And that was just full blown theft and extortion, you know, what happened there.
And also an impossible feat to even try to recoup or pay back anyway.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, people are going to be, you know, they've already pretty much killed the middle class. Now they're going after the rich, you know, the super rich aren't going to be harmed. But now they're going after the rich. And, you know, they really want two classes. They want the super rich and the poor. And the slave, exactly. And that's where they're trying to take things. And the only way they can really pull this off is to take away the arms. You know, that is the bottom line. You know, once that Second Amendment goes and people can't defend themselves, you know, because that's the one thing politicians fear is, you know, a pissed off community, you know, and they're there. I think it's just going to take a couple matches, you know, to throw on the fire. I mean, because it's ready to go. And, you know, you just look at these Occupy movements all over the planet. People are...
Yeah, they're amazing. And with this wave of energies that are coming in that are so profound, you know, your average Joe is waking up now. And you hear people talking about things you would never have heard of before like that. And so mainstream is definitely waking up. And they're not going to put up with it anymore. So that, again, is another
I've been talking to some people that... At one time, they were very, very religious and very redneck. I mean, I used to be a redneck at one time. I evolved out of that. But, you know, and you talk to these people now and they're getting it.
Yeah.
And they're going, God, this is obvious what's coming down the pike here. And, and they see that this smells rotten, you know, I smell a rotten fish in this whole thing, and they're asking and they're starting to question everything, and it's people that you never thought before, you know, would shift are now shifting. And they're, you know, they're also saying too, why can't we all just get along? You know, we're different. So what? That's okay. But, you know, before was something, I'll do something about that guy. You know, that ain't right. You know, and they're saying stuff like that.
Right.
Now they're going, why can't we all just get along? You know, why can't we just stop this nonsense? And so it's a whole different mindset.
So that's great then. So you figure in a couple of years, we'll be seeing some major shifting in the positive direction then.
Well, I see. I definitely do. I think, you know, the, excuse me, the energy is already set for that to happen. And there's enough people that are awakened now. And I think we're getting really close to that critical point, that critical mass point where things are going to shift. And I'm just seeing it, you know, everywhere people are questioning, you know, what's going on. There's still some holdouts. You know, there's people that, due to vested interest or job security or whatever, they're still playing the game. You know, they're voting.
Right.
They're voting their checks, you know, wherever their checks come from and whatever they're told to do. There's still people out there doing that. But overall, you know, it's been made very personal when people lost their homes and lost their jobs.
Absolutely, and it shifted people into whole new awarenesses as well, and whole new avenues of creativity.
Yeah, and now they're going after they're going to be going after their bank accounts here real soon. That legislation's already on the books, and they're going after their guns at the same time. So, it's just not going to fly, you know.
Right.
It's just, especially in America, it's just not going to fly. What they're trying to do is just way over the top and way beyond, you know, anything that is imaginable. So, you know, there's just a lot of talk on every level, even within our own military. They're fed up, you know, they're fed up, you know, on the higher levels. Yeah. They have their clones and robots doing what they're told, but all the way down, you know, through the brass on down, there's a lot of people. I mean, there's hundreds of generals that are just saying, this is wrong. You know, we swore an oath, you know, we swore an oath to protect the people from enemies, foreign and domestic, and uphold the Constitution. And the Constitution has just been trashed and we're losing all of our rights. I mean, the right to privacy is gone. I mean, they're looking at everything. They're listening to everything.
Yeah.
There's nothing they don't have access to.
Right.
You know, even spiritual.
It's almost like there's that world, and then there's like, it's almost like we want to be creating our world, which is not that world. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes I hear you talk about like two Earths, right?
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother concept, I suppose.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see that happening, you know, to where they would come in you know, where there would be a total split. I know the Hopi prophecies talk about a split, and those who, you know, worship technology and power over others are going to just take the downward spiral and collapse, and their world's over with. And the people that want to live in harmony with each other and the planet and live a spiritual life, their timeline continues, you know.
Yeah, and you're probably a little more familiar with the Bible than I am, but isn't there that one thing in the Bible about, you know, in an instant that two people would be working in the field and one would be left and the other would be somewhere else? That kind of
works for me.
Yeah, works for me too. So on that positive note that it could all shift in a twinkle, I'll see you there.
Yeah.
Have a really great evening, James, and happy
Black
and Merry Christmas from up here in Canada from me and Michelle.
Okay. Hey, thanks for calling, and great to hear from you. Give Michelle.
Yeah, you too. See you sometime. Adios.
All right. Here. Yeah, it's getting interesting, folks. We are coming into Christmas, and that's another story you don't want to get me revved up on. But, you know, it's, you know, we don't really need to kill a tree to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Come on, you know, leave the tree alone. Get one of those little plastic stand-up ones and keep it for a few years, you know. And, you know, if you want to get a tree, get a live tree and then put it in your greenhouse and let it sit over the winter, and then when it gets acclimated, go out and plant it. You know, I have Christmas trees here growing in my front yard right now, and God, they're like 60 feet tall, you know, so from different Christmases. And so, you know, it's important, you know, let's tread a little light on the planet, you know, do something, you know, consciously this Christmas. I think it's very important to get out of the stress of having to buy everything. People used to ask me what I did on Christmas, and what happened is up here at the ranch, somebody has to stay here because they have to keep the heat going, you know, the fire going, or the house freezes. We lose all of our plumbing, you know, it's a mess. So somebody has to stay here. So the whole family would go down and, you know, visit with other family, you know, in other parts of the U.S. And I would stay back and I'd say, okay, I'm gonna tend the fires and stay here. And when everybody left, I just went, yes, you know, because I got to do my personal quiet time and really evaluate the year and what I did during the year and how I could do things better and some of the things I felt good about and some of the things I didn't feel good about, and focused on releasing the past and started connecting with a lot of these beings, you know, like these extremely high beings and masters. And that was my time, my quiet time. You know, I loved it, and I was doing that every year. And now we have a few more people here, so you know, it's not so tough. You know, sometimes I actually go to Mexico, or I'll go somewhere else and celebrate it there, but I always spend that quiet time. So I think it's a really good idea to do that if you can get some time out, you know, this Christmas. And another thing about Jesus, you know, there's a lot of arguments around there that say, you know, this is just an archetype. He didn't really exist. And then there's other people that have records that he did exist, but he wasn't who they said he was. And you know, his real life and his real story has been totally twisted. I kind of go by what Michal Ledwith has to say about Jesus. And, you know, he has videos on how Jesus became the Christ, and it showed him going, you know, through all the Egyptian mystery schools. He went to Tibet. He went to India. You know, he has the records of that. He's done the research. He had access to the catacombs in the Vatican and books that we had never dreamed of. So I do believe he did exist, although his image and his story has been greatly twisted from the original story. But the bottom line is the archetypes, they all had a message, and the message was about love and joy and bliss and all loving, all forgiving God. They talked a lot about, you know, loving your neighbor, taking care of each other, you know, take care of the sick, take care of the poor, you know, things of that nature. The messages were that archetypal message was always there, when it was a message of a person that made their own personal connection with God, Spirit, Creator, whatever you want to call it, and lived a life of service to humanity and the earth. And that's the bottom line. And so it doesn't matter what you believe. Let's just look at the message and see, you know, if we can kind of try to walk in those shoes. One of the prayers that they don't talk about that Jesus said, you know, in the Bible was, he said, "Beloved Father, let them become one as we are one." So what is he talking about? I mean, how can we become one as he is one? You know, "You will do greater works than I, for I go unto the Father." You know, all of these things he talked about, ye are gods, the temple of God is within. Everything that he talked about is, it's all about empowerment. It's about people making their own personal God connection and, you know, seeing the Creator in all creation, you know, and being a life of service. You know, that's the bottom line. But that message has been twisted quite a bit. And unfortunately, a lot of religious institutions and governments have strayed far away from those basics, and the basic universal laws that are necessary for a healthy society and environment. And that's why we're in the mess we're in. So it's all about, you know, his message was an empowering message. It was a message of individual responsibility, and people need to make their own, you know, personal connection with spirit and behave yourself, you know, be kind to the planet, the earth. And it's that simple. You know, it's really not, it doesn't take rocket scientists, you know, to figure this one out. Anybody can figure this one out. So, you know, my, you know, in hanging out after my own near-death experience, I had a couple of them. I had one when I was 5 and one when I was 25. You know, I know there is a source. There's a creator. I know there's multi-dimensions. You know, I know we are multi-dimensional beings existing on a vibrational continuum. And we're not just a body and a personality, that there's so much more to us. And I also know we have friends and family throughout the cosmos. You know, and some of them, we actually walked right alongside before we came and incarnated on the earth. So that's not a belief for me. That's a knowingness. That's an experience. You know, it's, I'm not saying I believe this. There's always a lie in belief. It's because I've done some serious homework and some serious inner work and had some great master teachers to learn from. And that's how I gained this wisdom, is mainly through experience. So, you know, there is a greater family of man that just loves you dearly. They don't judge. They're like elder brothers and sisters, and they're here to help us. They're here in great numbers right now to assist us in this birthing process, to help the earth get through this process. And you're not alone. You know, it's very important to realize. Yeah, I hear people sometimes saying, God, I feel so alone. And I go, how do you do that? You know, I don't know how you do that. It's so far beyond me, because, you know, all of these beings are just a thought away. And all we have to do is meditate and go out and meditate and ask, you know, for help. And I would suggest that if you are going to go out and call on your elder brothers and sisters and these higher dimensional beings, that it would be a good idea just to learn how to heal any unseen negative influences, because the closer you get to nirvana, the demons rear their ugly heads. So there are, you know, there's an old saying, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened. So there are beings out there that are a little confused and a little mixed up. They haven't gone into the light. And so it would be a really good idea to learn how to clear that energy. And that's on the website at eseti.org, or it's in both books, Reunion with Source or Becoming God's Excellent Christmas Present, you know, if you want to help enlighten your friends, or The Ultimate Soul Journey, which talks about all these other dimensions and a lot of the experiences that I went through, you know, in my own awakening. And trust me, it's still going on. You know, it's I'm the first one to say the more enlightened I become, the less I know. And because there's so much to know, and there's so many different beings and different cultures and different ways out there, that it's just overwhelming. So, you know, if anybody tells you, you know and they have all the answers and everything else, run, you know, because they don't. And be wary of any boxes, you know. They're just, you know, people are going, well, I'm into Eastern thought. Well, that's just the other side of the coin. You know, there's all kinds of thought out there. And so, you know, just because somebody doesn't believe like you do and is in your sandbox, it's still a box. And that other box out there is also, you know, creation. It's the creator in that creation too. So those are the other children of God, you know, having an experience. It might be diverse, it might not be like yours, but, you know, we can't judge and condemn it and go to war on it and demonize other groups, other people, just because, you know, they have something we want, you know, which is what America is famous for. But, you know, with that being said, you know, that's something that we really need to look at. We need to stop being led by social consciousness and the media, the mainstream media. We need to back up, get out in nature, you know, turn your TV off for a while, and get really focused this year on what you want, what the world you want to see, and help set that into motion. You know, it's very important. If you want to live in a tier of live in a world of tyranny and enslavement and total dependency and terror and all these other things, there are groups out there that would love to take you there. If you want to live in a world where people live in love and joy and bliss and in peace with each other and in harmony with the land, then make that your focus. You will be tested along the way, and just realize that. But it is very important that we do it. You know, I've got just another minute here. We've got Ann on line one. Let's see if we can bring Ann on. Ann, are you with us?
Hello.
Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm sorry, I'm listening to the show at the same time. This is English.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you might want to turn your radio off because it'll get very confusing.
All right, I'll turn it off. Cool.
We just got a couple minutes. Did you have some questions or want to share something?
Well, what I wanted to share most especially was to remember to think from the heart and just be focused in and come from love. As much as we talk about all the negative things that are happening, yes, it's good to be aware of them, but that kind of lowers our vibrations. And if we focus on love and think from love and try to, you know, be what we are, which is love, unconditional love, that will raise them. And I think it's really important to do that.
Oh, I agree.
Not 100%. Focus so much on the negative stuff.
Yeah, your soul, you know, sits right next to your heart, and that's your connector to spirit. And people stay in the mind way too much. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, why are you talking about this stuff? You're creating fear. And I go, I don't have any fear. I'm just kind of giving people a heads up that this is where they're trying to take you, and don't go there, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm not afraid to look at it. I'll look straight at it and see it for what it is. And so there's no fear on my side at the table. But I think it's important that we stop fearing looking at this stuff straight on and seeing it for what it is, and then, you know, try to correct this or change this destiny by informing people like don't buy into it. Don't go down that road. You know, that's the road they're trying to take you on.
Agreed. It's good to know where they're at and still maintain the fact that the unconditional love is what we all are. And the most difficult thing we can do is love those that go against us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it is. You know, love is the ultimate power in the universe. It's the cosmic glue that holds things together. And it's the, you know, it's the manifesting force behind creation. So it's really where you really want to spend most of your time.
Absolutely. It's what we're all made of.
Exactly. Hey, well, thanks for calling. It looks like we're going to have to sign out here.
Thank you so much, Dave. Have a lovely evening.
You too. And
okay,
I want to kind of go out with this wonderful song here. I just love this song. And, you know, it's the end of the world as we know it. And it's a pretty good song. And then we'll go into the second hour. So anyway, this is James Gillen signing off. I'm glad we're all still here. Planet hasn't turned into a cinder, imploded, blown up, and we can continue on our evolutionary process, and hopefully it's to more ecstatic states of love and joy and bliss. Anyway, have a great evening. Greetings, this is James Gillen, and welcome to, this is the, I guess the solstice edition, the end of the world edition, you might say, as we know it. And a lot going on out there, a lot more than people are aware of. So without any further ado, we're going to answer some questions. There's a lot of questions coming in about the shifts and the changes and what's happening and is it the end of the world or what's going on. And, you know, as well as just a lot of other questions that people have sent in over time. So we're going to go ahead and try to cover most of those questions and give out some really good information to help people get through these times. And my lovely assistant, Jana River Elf, is going to be asking these questions and reading these questions off so we can answer most of your questions. So without any further ado, we want to welcome Jana and make sure we're hooked up. Are you there?
Yes, Yeah, hi, James, and everybody listening to Internet Radio. Yeah. Happy solstice.
Yeah, I don't want to answer questions ahead of time, but mm-hmm. I'm just curious. There's people there that are saying, you know, absolutely nothing happened. I didn't feel a thing. Mm-hmm. There's people saying, oh my God, you know, I'm being pulled right out of my body. Mm-hmm. I'm getting dizzy and sick, and some people actually vomit. There's all kinds of things going on. I'm curious, just from people you've talked to or how you feel, I'm curious mm-hmm. your take on this, on the shifts of energy coming in.
Well, you know, where we are, there's, as many people know, a magnification of energies. Here on the land, there's a lot of expectation, I suppose, around the alignment, but there's been many alignments before. But I think, like what a lot of people said, is that there's as many realities unfolding and as many experiences as there are people. So it's very individual. But yeah, there's been a few cases of people that I'm close to and other sensitives, people that are really sensitive to energy, that in the last few days have been experiencing not so much the really high energies, but actually something that's physically sort of debilitating, including myself. I was feeling incredibly dizzy yesterday, vertigo. I had big plans to make dinner and all of these things, and that stopped around 4 o'clock. And, you know, my partner and I did a lovely meditation at high noon in the teepee and really were having a good experience there. And then somewhere in the mid-afternoon, yeah, this vertigo and dizziness came in, and I was having a hard time getting around. But yeah, that was my experience, and I know that there's been other experiences of people with the same symptoms. I think it's positive. You know, our bodies are catching up. Our spirits, they know much more, and they want to do things maybe sometimes our bodies aren't totally ready for. So.
Yeah, the body's definitely reacting to the energy and freaking out a little bit because it's losing its grip on physicality and being, and the ego too is being lord over everything.
Right.
So between the body and the ego, they're just getting hammered right now, and spirit's coming in and saying, nope, you're not in charge. You were in charge, but you're not in charge anymore.
Well, it's good to acknowledge our mammalian aspect as the great spirit beings that we are, but our mammal selves has an ego too, and that is to hold on to the ground underneath our feet.
Yeah, and it's kept us alive over the years, so it has it has a function.
Yeah.
But we're probably getting into the questions, so I think why don't we just go into the questions first, and if there's anything left over, we can address it.
Absolutely. I think people are more concerned about, you know, what's your take and sort of what has been some of your more pronounced observations about this year? And it's hard to have, hindsight already, but if you could look back through the months, sort of what are your most pronounced observations about the sort of collective phenomenon that's happening in 2012?
Boy, that's a long one. It's going to be a long answer.
Sure.
Yeah. Basically what I've seen is that this didn't really start on 2012. I mean, it goes back to not the November before last and even before that, but some huge energies were coming in. And what I thought was interesting is the Pleiadians would tell us when these shifts are going to come in and hang on, you know, because a lot of energy is going to be moving through. And we would find out that these, when they would tell us this, we'd do research and find out they corresponded with astrological or alignments and or planetary alignments and also the Mayan calendar. And so finding out that the Mayan calendar actually was given to the Mayans by the Pleiadians, as just about any researcher will tell you, it's a Pleiadian calendar, really, to be truth. And it's not even a Mayan calendar, it's the Aztec calendar that the Mayans, I don't know why they call it the Mayan calendar, but they're taking it off the Aztec stone. But, we can go further in that, but details I don't really care that much about. It's more about energy and how it's affecting people, you know, through these times. And so when these shifts come in, what I was observing is that, I have to bring the sun into the effect too, because the sun has just been pounding us with coronal mass ejections and streaming energy. all of this. And so let me go into the effects from up to now. Is basically, I've just been watching a lot of what they call the apocalypse or the great uncovering, which means everything is being uncovered and coming up to the surface. You know, people's deepest, darkest secrets and wounds and traumas and all the unfinished business is coming up, you know, hot and heavy. And I know we've all watched some people actually own it and take responsibility for their creations and their realities. And we've watched other people just totally blame and project and attack and try to gather people around them, you know, to support their role, their victim role, or whatever they're doing. So we've watched a lot of that over the years, and especially this past year. But it's quite interesting, the watching people just hang on so dearly to their reality, even though it doesn't match at all with what's really going on, and to just hang on to the delusions and continue to blame and project and attack and hold those energies right up to the end. I mean, they will hold them, you know, we've watched some people hold on to them so strong it almost killed them, you know. And, you know, and it's sad because, you know, the answer's there. And the answer is within their friends and family. And the universe will always provide the answer. But I like one teacher both of us knew that he said that the only reason we don't have the solution is we're ignoring it, or we don't have the answer is because we're ignoring it, because the answer and the question always come together. They're both there and at the same time, but we just don't want to look at it or don't want to act on it. But I think over the years we've watched so many people come up here and have amazing healings, amazing releases, you know, total quantum leaps in evolution and consciousness, you know, but at the same time we've been severely challenged by other forces, you know, external forces as well as unseen negative influences, you know, such as the county doing everything they can to shut us down, and the old system, the old network, you might say, has been doing everything to thwart, you know, this major awakening healing process. And I've also seen people's pain bodies as well, very active in doing all they can to sabotage, you know, their own healing, their own awakening, as well as the awakening healing of others. So it's been quite a roller coaster dealing with these energies, and it's been very tricky to stay grounded and stay, you know, in that loving detachment space and not jump into the dramas and the other energies. That's been the greatest challenge, is not to take sides, and just deal with clearly with what's going on, you know, what's at hand, and is this highest and best good of humanity, the earth, or Isetti, or is this something that is not serving at all, and it's actually a disservice and needs to move on.
Mm-hmm. Now, just a question on that, sort of, it's got the balls turning in my head. Do you think, you know, we love humanity, but that some of this disillusionment and things is actually, it's a collective phenomenon, this almost grieving process of letting go of that which doesn't serve us, that it is, you know, the macro microcosm, and within the individual we're expressing the greater discord that's going on with the collective. So in saying that, what do you think, even on a subconscious level, it was the teaching for the collective, you know, including yourself, in this last year? Is it the depersonalizing, or just kind of roll with the punches?
Yeah. Basically, it's like realizing that no matter how hard you try, you can't instill want into another person.
Yes.
And you can't convince another person if they're already convinced, even though nothing makes sense at all, you know, concerning any accusations or whatever else is going on, or projections or blame, you know, the blame programs. You know, I think one of the biggest lessons is that, you know, people are going to do what people are going to do. It's their divine right to free will. But there comes a time you need to set boundaries and just say, okay, look, this doesn't serve me, it doesn't serve you, it doesn't serve the planet. And if you want to continue in this path, it's time to find another venue, you know. I think that's one of the biggest lessons is stop. I'm trying to think of the word. In a way, you personalize this stuff, and you go, God, is there something wrong with me? Did I really do this? You know, like,
yeah.
And you start, you know, all these trips, guilt trips, and shames and blames, and all this negative stuff is being thrown at you, and you're going, whoa, wait a minute. Now, first of all, is this even a bad thing? You know, who sets the bar, you know, as far as what's good and bad? You know, we had a talk on another show about, you know, what's moral? Who sets the bar as to what's moral? You know, in the Pleiades, they don't have jealousy. They don't have separation. They don't have all these ownership programs going on and contracts, you know, concerning love and relationships and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, where are we judging from? Are we judging from a very highly evolved civilization, or are we judging from a very controlled, you know, religious programming or a controlled civilization? You know, so it's kind of it's interesting, you know, to look at this, and what it all boils down to is that it's very hard to be authentic down here and to really stay, you know, keep all your chakras open and stay in love and bliss and joy and express that way, because it becomes a threat. You know, every master that's taken that path, you know, there's an old saying, messiahs die young, you know, because they mirror back to people what they can't do, or they mirror back to people their own wounds and traumas or things like that. So very few people will stand in that light and go, wow, I've got some issues, you know, I need to work on this. Most of them will blame and project and try to pull down that person to their comfort zone, to where they feel comfortable. So it's kind of an interesting phenomenon watching this whole thing, is that, you know, we have this mass movement now where people are saying, I want to evolve, I want to go into the fourth and fifth dimension, you know, I want to do this, and people are already claiming they're already there, you know, that are still, you know, and they have these smug programs going, you know, that or a box, you know, that they think is it, and that's all that is. But what's really important is that we master judgment, and that we transcend, you know, all the religious and cultural boundaries, and, you know, get into unity consciousness and see the Creator in all creation. And when we've mastered that, that's when we can really start, you know, advising others or helping others. And and I always tell people, I'm not your guru. I'm not infallible. I have my own unique purpose for being here. Mm-hmm. And I'm just here to share some things. I'm sharing you some of my experiences and some of the tools I've learned that have been given to me. But it's all about your own personal journey, and not blaming others or if your journey isn't going so well, you know.
Yeah, that sort of answers the next question somebody had for you. They're asking you know, and sort of sympathizing a little bit too with that it must be difficult to be on the front lines of such a controversial topic in the spiritual world, which is a world, I guess, in itself, where there's a lot of half-truths. There are people taking advantage of other people, but sort of saying, you know, with all the things projected onto yourself, Andy Setti, is it possible at all to take yourself out of it and still be the messenger? They're just sort of saying, you know, it must be difficult to be on the front lines of this, and any insights that you have around it, considering the fact that, you know, there's many people that have had remarkable experiences on this earth, but the fact that you've decided to step forward as a man today on earth and say, you know, I want to bring attention to the Star Nations. I want to help usher in this age. But I guess it's more of a supportive thing, saying, you know, it must be difficult to have your door open to the world.
Yeah, it definitely is. And you know what's interesting too is that, you know, a good example is the UFO community. we're getting more crap from the UFO community than we are from the religious community or the scientific community or social consciousness. It's funny because, you know, we're having all these TV shows like Paranormal State, Danny Dyer, even Fox News with Hannity, is about as conservative as you can get, is coming up and you know, seeing the ships, filming it, covering it, giving a very positive review of it, and the ships have appeared exactly when and where we said they would. They had the cameras rolling, and despite all this, you know, the History Channel, Discovery Channel, all of these people that have been out here, the UFO community shuns what's happening here, and the major conferences shun SETI, the major radio talk show hosts, you know, I won't mention them by name, but have actually you know, set up talks and interviews, and then at the last minute just pulled the plug on it. So you know, what I look at is, I said, well, how can they be in integrity? You know, how can they honestly say, you know, we're here to stop censorship, we're not New World Order, we're not this and that, when they're the ones that are censoring? And I have trouble with that, because if your mission is to bring out the truth about UFOs, you know, why are you pigeonholing it into these little boxes that create a lot of fear and a lot of separation and, you know, a lot of againstness and all these other things, and keep it in the nuts and bolts category or the abduction category? You know, why are you doing this when the phenomenon is so vast, and most of it is very spiritual? You have to be highly evolved to even have any kind of an understanding whatsoever of what's really going on. And the bottom line is that when you have a long history of UFO activity here on the ranch, and then on top of that you have, you know, triple PhD Boeing engineers and Lockheed engineers and Air Force base commanders, pilots, air traffic controllers, you know, all of these people coming up, that, you know, and talking about this, how do you, you know, how do you deny that, and how do you censor it? You know, but it's done. I'm getting a little feedback. I don't know if it's on your end or what, but
picking
up some external.
Okay, might be the energy where I am.
Yeah.
Is it better now or?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. Well, speaking on 2012, now that December 21st has come and gone, do you feel that the hype or the aggrandizement of the 2012 phenomenon has triggered more of an awakening amongst people that were curious about all the hype, or perhaps because nothing has happened that has actually encouraged a deeper apathy amongst people? What do you think about that?
You know, that's a good question, because I really haven't been out in the public, and so I haven't been able to see a public response. But, you know, my feeling is the attention that has been drawn to this, and people, even if it is the end of the world or whatever, you know, there's an old saying, there's no atheists in the foxhole, you know. And so when you think things are coming down and big changes are coming and everything, people start going within, you know. They start meditating and start praying and start reevaluating their lives. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's some people that are doing it in a very healthy manner, and there's some people that are just doing it out of fear. But it's getting done, you know, one way or the other. You know, and I think it's a lot more healthy to, like Babaji said, to lovingly and joyously prepare.
Mm-hmm.
But the pay attention, make your own personal connection with spirit, get your own inner guidance going. That's the important thing. But you know, there's a lot of people that are very material minded, and they're very fearful, and they're out there and they're buying all kinds of you know, weapons and guns and gold, and they've got their bunkers, and a lot of people are going underground, and you know, the elite have their huge bunkers and all these other things, and I'm not saying that it's not wise to prepare. You know, we do need to prepare on some level, but if you don't prepare mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And if you haven't released the past and cleaned up your karma, you know, there's an old saying, no matter where you go, there you are. So I would not want to be in an underground facility with a bunch of control freaks or a bunch of tyrants or people that are very selfish and self-serving. There's no way I would want to be around people like that when this energy comes in, because that's all going to surface. And sounds like you dropped something.
Well, really, I just shuffled in my chair.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's your mic's really sensitive, but that's good. It's picking up everything.
Okay.
But the it's kind of interesting, because that's what I'm seeing, is that this energy coming in, a lot of it's not measurable, and some of it is measurable. I mean, the especially the solar stream and the CMEs and the coronal mass ejections and the gamma bursts and the cosmic energies coming in with the magnetic fields down, that's all measurable, and that's, you know, been increasing exponentially and having a major impact on every level. But a lot of these other energies are actually coming in from higher dimensions, and they're not measurable, other than those who are sensitive that are able to access those energies. And that's what I'm seeing is going on a huge scale. It's like the old grid of greed and, you know, selfishness, greed and power over others, and those old programs, or that whole grid is collapsing and falling apart, and the people that are aligned with that and their empires are collapsing, are going to collapse. They can't sustain themselves. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole new grid in place, which is, you know, aligned with unity consciousness. And that's what the Mayan calendar really points to, is that we're in the ninth wave, and that wave is unity consciousness, and everything that doesn't align with it is going to implode, you know, and move on. So it's a process. It's not going to happen on December 21st. That's a peak period. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, and this energy isn't going to stop. It's just, it really gets set at that time. But it's going to get stronger and stronger. You know, it's going to, it's just going to continue to bring all these things to the surface. It's going to continue to, you know, bring karma home to roost and expose everything until it's done, you know. And you know, there's, even with some of the darkest hearts out there, they still have an opportunity to heal and release the past if they're sincere. And if they start shifting towards the awakened healing and, you know, put their energy and assets in that direction, then there's a lot of forgiveness there. And self-forgiveness is what's most important. But it's really what you're holding in your soul. And, you know, you can't take from another, you can't harm another, you can't kill somebody or take a life without, the guilt or the other energy there. Your ego can override it and your intellect can override it, but in your soul, it's there. And there's a lesson concerning that coming. And so as long as it's there, these people are going to have some very hard lessons coming their way.
Wow, that definitely sums it up. Yeah, somebody had a question concerning, I think you've sort of answered it, about the elite families and how you foresee this unraveling as the Earth continues to evolve, as we evolve as a people. Is it that you feel that it's more of a falling away process of the service to self, or it's going to be a continuing reveal on behalf of some of these other forces? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think my thing is that I believe that it's like almost all the higher dimensions, the source itself, whatever name you want to give it, you know, we name the source and we give it an image of a little old man with a beard or whatever, you know, or a woman or whatever. It's so far beyond that. It's neither male nor female. And it's, you know, the best example we have is like the sun. And the sun shines equally on everybody. It doesn't withhold anything, but it's a great amplifier. And the sun is amplifying the energy here. And there's other energies that are amplifying things as well. So basically, the source itself and the higher dimensional beings that are aligned with the source, which would be like what people might call angels, ascended masters, you know, archangels, even the inner earth, the inner earth beings, the fairy and elf kingdoms, all those kingdoms are all working together in harmony to assist this event, to birth this event. Mm-hmm. The only ones that are out of sync are humanity. And, you know, it's almost like the movie, the inner earth thing. It's like, you know, finally all these kingdoms work together to get rid of the evil empire, you know, the evil empire. They all banded together, and that's what has to happen again. And so what's happening is that a lot of humanity and all these other levels are all working together in harmony to bring, you know, about this huge birthing event into the next level. Mm-hmm. And the earth herself has an agenda or a program or an evolutionary path that she's on, and if we're not frequency specific to that evolution, we're screwed, basically. You know, it's like you either match the frequency or get off the ride, you know. And like, you know, if you have a good example is, let's say you have one of these spinning playground things, you know, that they always use those as an example, and it starts spinning faster and faster and faster, right? And some people, if they have a lot of fear in them and a lot of heavy energies, you know, they're going to be slammed to the side, and they're going to get sick and ill, and they're nauseated, and they're going to have all these problems hit them, you know, and it's going to be crazy. And then there's other people that are just, they're already used to spinning faster and going higher. They've been on the playground for a while. Mm-hmm. And they've been, you know, really amping up the ride there. So they're going to cruise through it. And also, too, I don't want to put down people, because there's people that are holding energy. They're holding a lot of energy, and they're actually empathetically processing a lot of this stuff coming through, mm-hmm. as well. So, and that's a rough one, too. You know, I feel that. All of a sudden, I just feel this heavy, heavy energy coming in, and I'll see all these faces and people connected to it, and I just have to start clearing the energy. Mm-hmm. And saying, you know, not mine, you know, as I do it, and make sure it doesn't, residual energies don't get stuck, you know, in what's going on. And that's a really hard one right now, to figure out what's actually yours, mm-hmm. what is coming at you from friends or family or those close to you, what's mm-hmm. what's the collective process going on, you know, the earth releasing, you know, because you're feeling, you know, people who are really conscious are feeling all of it, and that's the really hard path right now for those who are adept and very awake and very sensitive to learn how to discern, you know, where these energies are coming from, depersonalize them and heal them and move on, and then make sure there's no residual energy stuck in us as they move through.
Absolutely, that's wisdom, especially for a lot of people. And I know a lot of the women are feeling what the earth herself is feeling. But as far as 2013 is concerned, and I know a lot of people listening to the show are very plugged in, all kinds of people listen to the show, is that as we go up in frequency, do you feel that we're going to start having more contact with some of these other beings? Do you feel that the shield around Earth, because of where we are now, is perhaps thinned? I know some people have talked about a quarantine being lifted from this planet, and that, I mean, yourself and I, we know that a lot of people are having contact with various groups. Do you think that it's going to increase in the coming years as a side effect of these higher energies?
You know, definitely. I have no doubt whatsoever. The veils are coming down between worlds, and, you know, people are seeing, you know, the shadow people, and they're seeing all these beings cruising around, and you know, some people are having light beings appear to them, especially in their dreams. They're having all these outrageous dreams, you know, where some of the dreams are teaching dreams and contact dreams, and some dreams are process dreams where they're just processing, you know, the past. And that's a whole book in itself. I mean, there's a lot of books out there that help you understand, you know, the symbols and dreams and what they mean. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my understanding with dreams is that there can be influences in dreams, both good and not so good. You know, astral beings can come at night and you feel their emotions and their unresolved issues, and they have agendas, you know, discarnate spirits, things like that, you know, then you have everyday communications with people. You're still talking and working with people, friends and family and things that go on in the dream state. And then some very high beings can come in and assist you and teach you in that state, because you're actually out of your body. You know, you might be going to these other dimensions and going to school, mm-hmm. and being taught there. And then there's just basic processing. You know, you're just releasing a lot of the junk from the day, you know, or a lot of the interactions from the day. So when you understand that these dreams have many levels to them, you know, it helps you understand what the dreams are about. And I always tell people, get a dream, you know, keep a dream calendar or something, or a book next to your bed if you can. And as soon as you wake up and you remember the dream, write it down, because if you go back to sleep, you're going to lose it. It won't come back. If you don't write it down right away, you're going to miss it. So even if you just write down some of the trigger words, like, you know, let's say if you saw an animal in the dream, or you a person, or the key event, all you need to do is write down two or three of those, and that'll trigger, you know, when you go back to that, all of a sudden the rest of the information will come through. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very, very important for people to keep track of their dreams, meditate at least, you know, to me, I meditate at least two or three times a day. You know, take the time out, you know, do some yoga, get limber, you know, watch your diet, drink a lot of water, because it helps you process right now.
Mm-hmm.
And just be really aware of where your water's coming from and where your food is coming from, and your surroundings, and, you know, what... You know, you're being fed by your surroundings as well, so be very clear about your surroundings.
Definitely. As far as someone was also asking, just sort of change gears, I know with some of the guys that we've worked with and the incredible conversations and some of the things that we've seen from the Thrive movement and all of these things, you know, they're... Looking at the 2012 phenomenon, there's a lot of half-truths, some pseudoscience kind of woven in there. So when the words free energy come up, you know, that's something very hopeful at the forefront of the collective heart, because we know that gas and oil is just not good for the mother, and that we know that the abundance of nature is inherent within all of us. What do you foresee developing, you know, in sort of the global perspective on the hopefulness that we have in our hearts around free energy? Do you think that it's going to be up to the larger companies, or it's going to be more of a DIY sort of homesteader sort of scenario?
Yeah, that's a good question. I see both, actually. I see that there are companies, there are some units out right now for like refrigerators and things like that that can make them basically freestanding, and hot water heaters, and they're under development right now. And you really think about it, the two biggest draws, you know, basically is you know, your refrigerator and hot water, and then you have heat as well. So there's some technologies coming out that are going to be either super efficient or free energy technologies that are going to come in that, you know, in that arena. And the contracts are already there. You know, people have signed the contracts. The technology's there, and they're in the process of mass production. I don't know how soon. You know, some are saying, you know, within this year, a lot of these things are going to be out. There's other technologies, especially water technologies, which are very base technologies. I think it may not have been Pakistan. There's a guy that has a water car in Pakistan. There was a guy that had a water car in Japan, and he just mysteriously disappeared. You know, everything is boarded up and locked up. I tried to do an interview with him after he released, you know, showed his car working on water, you know, drove it around, put a YouTube out on it, and all of a sudden this guy's just boarded up. So there's still a lot of suppression going on. But I think that the powers that be, I mean, a lot of these people are really in it to make a dollar. And if they see it's going to come out through a lot of independent levels, they're going to go, wait a second, we need to jump on this first, because, you know, we're going to be selling, you know, the refrigerators and the stoves and the heaters and all the other stuff. They said, we need to get a jump on this because we're going to be left, you know, in the dark, and we're going to lose our market. So it's kind of interesting the way this is going down, but I don't see how it can be stopped. You know, I've been searching for, you know, the working models have been around since Tesla, and they've been suppressed. You know, we've had free energy since, you know, the 1920s, and maybe even before that. But you know, it's going to come out, and the people that I've talked to have, you know, if you take the black ops energy there, I mean, they have anti-gravity, counter-gravity, they can jump dimensions now, and they've got some, you know, they're doing teleporting and all these things. They're hundreds of years ahead of us, and so, you know, we don't really need to be flying these giant planes, you know, and polluting the atmosphere, you know, with all the contrails. And we definitely don't need to be doing the chemtrails. That's even worse. That's a whole other topic. But, you know, and all of these, you know, it's hard for you to imagine, you know, what if you just teleported what you need? You know, what if you went to the place and hit the button and it was just teleported there? But now they're having plasma things that actually reconstruct. They reconstruct the elements. It's almost like something out of Star Trek, you know, where they can take garbage and turn it into an apple or whatever, you know. And so there's a lot of technologies out there that are just amazing that are here on the planet now. And I also think that there's a huge, it's already happening. I mean, there's massive fleets flying around over major cities right now. It's all over YouTube. And what I see is that as soon as one of these events happen, it's only on YouTube for a day or two, and then it's taken off. And we've grabbed a bunch of things. I send them out. As soon as I send them out, within a day or two, it's been removed. And so they're doing all they can to censor it, you know, what's going on. But you can't censor a fleet of ships flying over a major city. And if the news isn't going to report it, that then they lose all their credibility when masses have seen these sightings. And there's just hundreds of ships flying over Mexico on a pretty regular basis. It seems like every two or three months there's sightings of especially Guadalajara and those areas have been filming just, you know, massive fleets of ships. And there's nothing we can do about some of these beings. They are so advanced. They can pop in and out of a dimension. They can sit and observe us from another dimension. You know, they have no radar signature. We don't even know they're there. They can pretty much do whatever they want. And so it's, you know, they've done some reverse speech on even Obama, and he's talking about the aliens are in charge. He goes, it's kind of interesting listening to all this. So I think we're going through a huge shift where at one time there were some self-serving ETs, some low-level contacts going on and agreements made, and that those agreements are up. They've been up for a while, and now the benevolent ones are coming in and enforcing, you know, those agreements and actually getting rid of some of the baser elements here that are doing, you know, controlling and manipulating the masses.
So do you think we can make the paradigm shift, you know, with some of these more service to self entities along for the ride? Or is the free energy reality something that's just going to spin out on its own?
Yeah, it's going to come out. Either way, it's going to come out. You know, what I see, all you have to do is look at the Gulf oil, what happened there. It's still leaking. They still haven't fixed that mess. There's a lot of other wells that have gone off. There's, seems like with the earth movement and shifting, they're having one well disaster after another. And they should never be drilling in some of these places. They should be leaving that alone. And And the people are becoming aware that we don't even need to be drilling there, that we don't need this. There's conversions where you can convert automobiles to water. And, 100% on water. And the people that are doing them, they have them up to 50%, and some people are up to 80%. But they're saying that if you go over 50%, you're going to have trouble. If you stay under 50%, then they leave you alone. And so now with the new cars coming out, where they're actually splitting water and burning the hydrogen and the oxygen, that new technology right now is coming out, and it'd be a very simple thing to adjust these gas guzzlers and run them on water, and that's just a base. That's a very base way of doing things. So if you did that, let's say the next step would be, okay, well, let's build an electric car and put one of these little generators on it, and you could drive the tires off of it, and go forever, So that's the next step up. And the next step after that is you wouldn't need tires.
Yeah.
It'd be anti-gravity or counter-gravity. So those technologies are available today. They're held by the power elite. They're controlled and suppressed. But I think that suppression is going to be lifted. And once it does, there's going to be a huge jump in evolution and technologies coming out. And there's going to be a lot of assistance with that. I think once this UFO thing, once they do their own disclosure, which is happening right now, people are going to go, wait a second, these things are real. If they're real, what else is real? And if this is true, we've been lied to all our lives,
Yeah.
And so, and also too, is what's flying these things? If this technology exists, why aren't we using it? If we have like the movie Men in Black and all these things coming out right now, if these places do exist and they have all this extreme technology, why are we killing our environment and why are we sick? Why are we all ingesting, all of these toxins and poisons and breathing the air and the water and, that's polluted and everything else? If we have, these other, not just fuels technologies, but healing technologies as well. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of people are aware of all of this, and it's upsetting. It's sickening for many. It's very frustrating. What would be your recommendation for people? Because it's not about let's sit down and wait until somebody brings this to us. What do you think is the call to action for people here in today and tomorrow? Every dollar we spend, we're supporting things. What to you is the most important call to action so that we can make these changes happen? Because we can't sit back and wait for it to be delivered to us either by higher beings or the power elite. What do you think is the most important place to put our conscious energy in these times?
I think one of the most important things is for people to just take some time off, get out in nature, get away from social consciousness, get out of the network, and start and just reevaluate your life and take a long, hard look on how much you're enslaved, how much you're controlled, what's going on, and you get very clear, do I want to participate in this machine anymore? Mm-hmm. Because, the machine, whatever you want to call it, the power elite, the New World Order, the network, whatever you want to call it, is going to implode. And in ancient times, they call it the beast, and there's a lot of prophecies around the beast. And there's people that are serving the beast and participating, in all these wars and war industries and things like that, and polluting the land and taking advantage of people, enslaving them through dependency and through the economy and things like that. And these people are going to fall with the beast. When the beast falls, they go with it. And so the people that wake up and start, pulling away and start living a more natural life in peace and harmony with each other and the planet, those people are going to do well. And so that's the best thing I can see right now, is that it's all about stepping out of the network, out of the system, out of social consciousness, the programming. Turn your TV off, get out in nature, and just totally reevaluate your life. And that's what's happening right now with these huge waves of energy coming in. People are saying, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't keep working here. I can't create weapons of destruction. You know, I can't participate in enslaving people, or, you know, even through the economy. You know, I can't keep, you know, throwing huge debts on people over and over again, you know, and even though it may seem like a good thing, you know, at the time, hey, we're going to give you these thousands of dollars to buy the American dream and everything else, down the road, all of a sudden you go, wow, you know, I don't own these things, they own me, and I'm a total slave right now, and I don't have any free time, mm-hmm. you know, to do the things I want to do, and to be creative, and to meditate, or pray, or do whatever, you know. So it's I think it's just a total shift has to happen in consciousness and an awakening to where people realize where they're at now, how they got there, and basically who put them there. And it's not so much, you know, I don't want to say who put them there, because there are people that put them there. That's their program, is to enslave the masses and, you know, enslave through dependency and things like that. But we made choices, you know, and we chose to go along with that program. So, you know, if you want to point the finger out, you know, point the finger at somebody, there's always three fingers pointing back. So, you know, we have to educate ourselves that we made choices, that we were ignorant, that, you know, we went along with the program, and now we need to, like, make some wiser choices and step out of the network.
Yeah, and thinking on that, how do you feel about some of the children that you've met this year, or you know, just some of the souls that are coming to Earth right now, and how incredible they are? And sort of on a lighter note, since we're going to be finishing up in the next few minutes, sort of what was the most powerful or the most uplifting thing that you remember from this year that you hold in your heart?
Boy, there's been so many things here, and the children especially, you know, seeing these kids come in, and a lot of these kids are just powerhouses. I mean, they're rebels. I mean, they're not here to be absorbed by the system, and you know, the sad thing is that the system is very boring to them. It just, it's not challenging, and so the system is drugging them and, you know, throwing them on every drug you can imagine, you know, which is why we're having these killings. And there's even more to that. But when the kids are on Ritalin what are the other ones, Prozac and all these other things they give these kids, well, they're susceptible to influences, be them electronic or psychic or, you know, any kind of negative influences. You know, and they say, you know, that the end result on a lot of these drugs is just a massive breakdown and people committing suicide or taking a whole bunch of people out with them. And they know that, but they continue, you know, to the big pharma continues to push these programs, and that's really sad. And I think when there's somebody that comes for a clearing or a counseling and they're on these drugs, you know, it's like you can't really work with them until they clean up. It's almost like it just throws a big wall up there. So it's not a matter of a drug is not going to take you to that happy place. It's healing the past and cleaning up the old wounds and traumas are what's going to take you there. But the children, what's being done to the children, you know, this is on a darker note, you know, this is, you know, with the mass killings and all these other things, those have everything to do with the drugs and the psychotropic drugs, and also another agenda as well, which is the same folks, basically. They're all in cahoots together. And it's, you know, I think what Jesus said, you know, what you do to one of these, you know, he was saying, do not mess with the children, you know, do not mess with these kids, you know. And so spirit and these higher dimensional beings take a, you know, they beings, I mean, they take a very dim view of what's being done to the children. I mean, they don't have a lot of tolerance for that. And I think that it's going to be the undoing, you know, as far as the churches and governments and everything else. What they've done to children is going to be their greatest beast, you know, that's going to come back to haunt them. And you know, it's, we just issued a message of the third secret, you know, what Mary's third secret was all about. And we put it out over the net, and it's on the newsletter. If people want to go check it out, you can go in the past and read past newsletters as well. And, you know, Mary, you know, the third secret was very clear about this. You know, it was a warning, and it was telling the churches how far they've strayed away, you know, in amassing power and wealth and at the expense of the ignorant and the poor, and that they were created to serve, you know, the sick and the needy and the homeless, and they're actually created to help people, not to take advantage of people, and actually strip them of their own ability to make their own personal God connection and make them think that they have to go through the Pope or some hierarchy or whatever. All of these things are totally contradictory to what the original inception was for. And so, you know, they have one facade that they say they're doing, but the main purpose is the opposite. It's actually to you know, Christ consciousness. If people understand what the source is, it's you know, it's that spark within everybody that can ignite to become the full flame. It's the source is the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness on all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse. Well, that spark of that one consciousness is within the individual. And so when we ignite that spark and we become at one or at one-ment or atonement, whatever you want to call it, then we merge with that and become one with it. And that was the real message of Jesus. He said, you know, beloved Father, let them become one as we are one. And he became one in consciousness. And so when we have, you know, institutions out there that are saying, you cannot ignite that spark, you have to go through us, and they push fear, guilt, unworthiness, and shame, and all these other things on you to keep you down, that's anti-Christ consciousness, or the anti-Christ. And so anything, whatever institution there is not empowering the individual, that's suppressing the individual, that's suppressing creativity, that's suppressing individual rights and freedoms, which are God-given rights, anything that is operating under that system is basically anti-Christ, anti-Christ consciousness. And people are waking up to that and going, wow, you are totally polarized. You know, you're doing the opposite of what you were created to do, and you are no longer of service, you know, and it's time for you to either transform or go away, basically.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, it's, I think that some people think that the children that are coming in now, their DNA is much more susceptible to the upgrades in the energy. Yeah. And I know a lot of people who are engaging these energies and spending a lot of time in nature are experiencing more psychic sight, things like that. And that the children are just automatically receiving these upgrades. And as you can see, you know, there are some serious ET genetics, some of the feline beings that are showing up within these children. And that's really exciting, because this kind of DNA is not susceptible to mind control. Mm-hmm. And that there, I feel that there is a generation of people here of all ages, not just a generation, sorry, of people that are not susceptible to mind control. I think we could probably slot ourselves in there as that, and that it's time to stand up. To end this tyranny, and I think that might just be happening from within, and our own light shining out into the world. I think that's what's going to put the tyranny to bed here on this beautiful planet.
Yeah, definitely. I know. Yeah, there's they've been saying that there's an end. They said tyranny is going to implode on itself, and that's the message they keep talking about. And mm-hmm. You know, one of the most powerful messages I've heard was and people hate the word God, so we'll call it creator or spirit or whatever you want to call it. Some people have a real issue with that word. But, you know, they talk about the creator, and they go, the creator has a plan. And that plan is the creator has given its best to the earth. And its best are coming from all these planes and dimensions. Highly evolved beings are coming in right now and have been incarnating for quite a while. And they're being activated and their awakening. And he said, that's the plan. And pretty soon, you've got all these awakened beings walking around just saying, whoa, wait a second, guys, pay attention. This is what's really going on. And then pretty soon the emperor has no clothes. It's totally exposed for what it is, and people aren't going to participate in it, you know, anymore. And so that's what I see coming into effect, is that it's, and we're going to hit that critical mass point where enough people are awakened where it just flips, you know, and then we're done with the old program. And anybody that tries to run that old program is going to have almost instant karma.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're going to have to get a big hug.
Yeah. You know, the Palladians, they talk about their children, and what they do is that at the age of between 5 and 8 or something around there, they take them up on the ships, and they turn the ships into a light principle. And so it's like a near-death experience.
Yeah.
And so that child knows he's one with the source, and that the source is everywhere and everything. He's totally... And you know, embedded in him is unity consciousness, and so when they come back, they have that ideal of everything is one, we're all one, and they're in service mode, and so they know what that child's gifts are, and they're very spiritually adept, and so they give that child everything they need to advance to their highest potential, and then that child gives back to the whole. Mm-hmm. And that's the way civilizations need to be operated, but we do the opposite. The leaders that we choose are the ones who have amassed great wealth and power at the expense of humanity and the earth. They have no morals, no. They're just out there for power and wealth and notoriety or sense gratification, things like that. And we exalt them to the highest positions, and then we wonder why we have a mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we're doing the exact opposite of what we need to do.
Well, I think today, you know, we're starting to see the living prophecy. There are so many beautiful awakened souls that came here for this in this time. And I think that we can start to say goodbye to these old programs.
Oh, yeah.
With a big smile on our face.
Yeah, they're imploding, and this energy just doesn't support them anymore. And that's what we're in the process. We're in a huge transition right now, And again, it doesn't happen overnight, but there are peak periods where a huge amount of energy comes in, and to set these the new course, you might say, and that's what we're in. We're in a total course setting, a total change, in a way, you know, a whole new way of living and living with each other and the environment and things like that, and that's what this is all about.
Absolutely. It's an exciting time to be alive. Yeah. I'm glad I came for the party.
Yeah. Speaking of time, it looks like we're pretty much out of time.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, if there's anything you want to say, feel free to any little last-minute words.
Well, I feel that we are united as one for those that have the heart to feel it and eyes to see it, and we can all have that. It's no more than a thought away. And that I really love everybody.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, that's where we need to be.
Yep.
Hey, anyway, so thanks a lot for bringing these questions out and being the As You Wish helper.
Sure thing.
And we'll have to do it again.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot.
Good night.
All right, it's James Gillen signing off. Have a great day, and pay attention to your surroundings and what's going down, and if you're not a blessing to the earth and a blessing to the planet and a blessing to those around you, you might want to start reevaluating things. Anyway, have a great night. Good night.